there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. We're on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, it is the draft recap show, and I'm losing my voice.
I was about to say, you sound a little down, and I wonder why. Like, what were you doing the last few days?
Well, you know, we were at the draft, and I'm not down. I just was so excited when the Jags drafted Juwan Taylor that I screamed so loud. And my voice has been gone ever since. And I broke a cell phone when Juwan Taylor got drafted. It was pretty exciting.
You definitely were. And I wish I had my phone out for that, because that would have been like an epic reaction to capture.
I'm the whoa, man. I am such a jerk.
Yeah, Bobby basically screamed. It was a good 10-second scream that he let out. It was just like he was holding it in, building it up, and it was like Juwan Taylor was someone who...
Second round, man, just amazing.
Yeah, he would have... You know, we thought that was a possibility at number 7 for them, so to give him the second round. I know Bobby was excited, but unfortunately he broke someone's phone in the process by giving them a high five and smacking it.
Anyway, guys, we are going to talk about the fantasy impact of players. We're going to get to defensive players, offensive linemen towards the end of the show, but at the beginning of the show, we do want to talk... fantasy impact. First of all, I want to say I had so much fun at the draft. We got to meet a lot of our listeners, just a few of them, Cody, Jacob, Andrew. We met a bunch of others. We really appreciate you guys listening to the show, supporting it, coming out and saying hi to us. It was a blast to meet y'all.
I hope we get to do things, in the future where we get out there and like maybe we do a live recording of a podcast and invite listeners out, because it's always fun meeting everyone. So thank you guys for coming up and introducing yourselves. It's our honor to meet you guys just as much as you guys are happy to meet us. We're happy to meet you guys, and we thank you, you know, for all the support you guys give us.
Absolutely. So everyone's wondering who won the mustache competition. What I mean by that, if you're just now starting to listen, the mustache competition is whoever had the least accurate between the two of us of the of our mock drafts has to go with the Antonio Brown blonde mustache. And just like the combine competition, I kind of lost on purpose just because I would have felt really bad for if you had to do the combine or gone with a blonde mustache. But I mean, I can rock them both. Like, I went for the world record with a combine. I don't know what record I'm going to set with the mustache, but it's going to be good.
I can't wait to see this, because you're going to have to grow out that beard a little bit and then go and take some pictures. And it's going to be on our Instagram account, too. So you guys got to make sure you follow that to see Mr. Sylvester maybe in a couple weeks or whatever it is, whenever he decides to pay his debt to society.
You know, the results aren't actually official yet, but I'm pretty sure that I lost based on the last look that I got at the standings. So
yeah, I'm just happy that the whole Clell and Ferrell thing worked out. A lot of podcast listeners reached out to us as soon as that pick was made. And we talked about Clell and Ferrell a lot. And I said, you know, I think on our mock draft episode, I said, would I be surprised if Clell and Ferrell went top 5 in this draft? No, because I have him ranked as a top 5 player. So that was really cool. If there's one thing that I could take away from this draft.
It was vindicating. So basically, like, I didn't actually put that in my written mock draft, but since I called it on the podcast in that mock draft episode. I'm pretty sure I actually beat Tags. It should count.
And we both hit on our sleepers. We both hit on our guys that were not projected to go in the first round that did. Tytus Howard and, well, the Packers traded up to get your guy, Darnell Savage.
Darnell Savage, that's right. And nobody had E.J. Collier. Nobody knows what that was all about, Seahawks. Whatever. Okay, so we're going to talk about pristine auction, and then I have something to run by you guys. I need you guys to settle a feud that Tags and I have, and then we're going to get right into the fantasy football impact. So today's show is brought to you by pristineauction.com, and we're giving away a signed Davante Adams Packers helmet with a visor from Pristine Auction at the end of the month. So you're running out of time. You've only got a couple days. Sign up at fantasypros.com/contest and check out what Pristine Auction has for you. Actually, Tags drove us down to Nashville because we're really not too far away, and we just wanted to spend some extra time together hanging out and everything. And when he dropped me off today, there was a big package on my porch from Pristine Auction. I was psyched to get it. There are so many great values on Pristine Auction every single day. There are hundreds and hundreds of options. You will definitely find something for your cave that you love. And everything's guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. So check out what Pristine Auction has for you. It's PristineAuction.com. All right, so here's our feud, and I'm sorry for taking a little bit to get to the fantasy stuff, but there's a lot of, you know, other stuff that we have to clear up really quick, okay? So Tags and I went to Topgolf, and if you haven't been there, it is amazing. I love that place. It was awesome, okay? But Tags thinks that I cheated. Is that how you would explain it?
It was cheating. That's the definition of what you did.
I followed the rules to beat you.
So if you've ever been to Topgolf, you know that there's like, you know, different little holes that you could hit in. And it's basically, it's for all ages, all people, all skill levels. You know, if you don't play golf, it's fine. As long as you hit the ball off the mat, it can go into the hole. It's giant holes, right? Bobby decides to pull out a little wedge and hit the ball in like 40-yard holes, basically for like the little kids. It's like the little kid.
No excuses, Tags. Playmakers make plays. You didn't do it.
I'm hitting a 4-iron trying to go into the 195, the white ring. 195-yard ring, and Bobby's hitting it into the little kid ring, and I felt like he was cheating just to win.
Nailed it every time, man. Wasn't the little kid ring, it was the playmaker ring, and that's what I... And here's the thing, okay? So first of all, I whooped Tags that round, and he was making all these excuses and complaining, so guess what I did? I said, hey, can you guys bring me a left-handed 6-iron, please? And they did, and I just started mashing. In fact, I was better left-handed than right-handed, and I destroyed Tags again, so no excuses, I won. World record holder, blonde mustache, super hot, doesn't matter. I got this.
I can't wait to see this blonde mustache.
Let us know what you think on Twitter. In fact, we're going to put up a poll here after the podcast publishes. So let us know what you think. At Bobby Fantasy Pro, at Mike Tagliere, NFL. All right, Tags, fantasy football time. We're going to talk about the skill positions. And let's skip quarterback for now because running back, wide receiver, the most important. So let's look at the running backs drafted early in their fantasy impacts. Josh Jacobs is the big winner here, right? He's the certain workhorse.
Yeah, there's only a few jobs that can potentially, you know, net you a ton of touches, and the Raiders was one of them. You know, obviously losing Marshawn Lynch, losing Doug Martin this offseason, you knew they had to do something, and Isaiah Crowell wasn't going to be the answer. They were one of the teams we knew were going to draft a running back. The question was, were they willing to pull the trigger in the first round? And they absolutely did. They didn't even want to wait till 127. They pulled the trigger at 124 and took Josh Jacobs. You know, we've talked about him on the podcast in regards to, can he handle a full workload? I think Isaiah Crowell is probably the best complement to him in terms of like what they bring to the table. Josh Jacobs is the pass catcher. He's the one that you're going to want in that offense. Derek Carr, his average depth of target was like the lowest in the NFL.
He's also going to be the goal line guy. Isaiah Crowell's just kind of the scat back, like the lightning guy.
I think that Isaiah Crowell might get more carries than some people think. They might try and ease Jacobs in to see, because, you know, he's a guy that I don't think he ever topped 100 carries in college. So he was in a 3-way timeshare. He was always fresh. So you have to wonder.
Jacobs, that is, not Crowell.
Correct, Jacobs. So, I mean, a 3-way timeshare at Alabama. It wasn't even a 2-way timeshare. So I don't know if Josh Jacobs is going to be able to handle all the workload, because he looked fantastic when he was on the field. But when you come in and you're always fresh, it's like a third down back comparing him against, you know, a starting running back. So, you know, Josh Jacobs definitely landed in a great spot to land touches, because there really isn't great competition there.
I first want to say I don't love the pick from a pure football perspective. Like, it's fine. It wasn't the worst pick in the first round, not even close. But you could have waited until the second round and got a very similar type of running back in David Montgomery, who may even be better. Miles Sanders went a dozen picks later as well. Josh Jacobs is going to be great in fantasy football, however. I think of him as like Sony Michel as a rookie last year. Now, if Michel had stayed healthy, that's a different thing. But he was really good when he was on the field because he was getting a ton of carries. And that's what's going to happen with Josh Jacobs, like you said, in the passing game as well. So right now, I've got a 4th round grade on him. I could see that moving up even into the late second. How do you feel about that?
I'm right there with you. Actually, it was funny because I started a best ball format with my Twitter followers. I basically said, if you're following me on to do a best ball draft, that I'd be doing one. And I'm pulling up my team now just to make sure that I knew what round it was. So when I was at the draft, I was making sure I was holding off on my picks because I, you know, those picks are going to obviously tell you a lot of information that you might not have had before. Like Mike Davis, I'm not going to draft anymore. But Josh Jacobs, I took him in the fourth round of this best ball draft as soon as I found out that he was drafted by the Raiders. So I think fourth round is like...
You screwed up, by the way, because Chris Carson was still on the board.
I would take Josh Jacobs over Chris Carson because I just feel like there's a little less question marks. Like, you draft a running back in the first round, you're going to put him on the field, especially when your competition's Isaiah Crowell.
Unless you've got a top five running back in the NFL, which Chris Carson was over the last month and a half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Carson is an upside pick. I like Chris Carson, but there's going to be some timeshare.
You're right. It is more volatile. Josh Jacobs, you know what you're getting. It's Carlos Hyde before the trade, right? He's not great. He could be, but he's just going to get a ton of touches, and that's what counts in fantasy football.
Yeah, and you saw Jalen Richard getting targeted, you know, eight times in some of those games, and those targets are not going to go to Josh Jacobs.
He was their best wide receiver, man. Now they've got some guys. I think Jalen Richard fades away.
I think that I'm probably going to settle in with him right around that RB18 range is probably where I'll have Jacobs. And I mean, I don't think his upside is what some people think. I do think they're going to use Crowell in that offense. And I do think that the scoring is going to be a bit limited. I don't think they're all of a sudden going to become, you know, a top 10 scoring offense just because they went out and got Antonio Brown and Josh Jacobs.
He's definitely not Saquon Barkley or Ezekiel Elliott. So don't even begin thinking that. Tags, is he the 1-1 in dynasty rookie drafts though?
This is really tough.
I mean, we're going to talk about some of these other guys later, right? But
yeah,
that's the question. It's Jacobs or Harry, right? N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal Harry is where a lot of people are going to go. We'll talk about Harry in a little bit.
I think he'll be the favorite.
I just think it comes down to what your team needs. If you need a wide receiver, we'll talk about them. If you need a running back, I think Jacobs is probably the guy.
They're close enough. You don't always have to draft the single best dynasty value. You draft for what your team needs this year if they're that close. And I agree. I think they are.
If you had an early first round pick, like let's say you had pick like 1-3, 1-4, if you traded it away, you're not mad because I feel like there's like six guys that we could make the argument for.
1-1 to 1-6, what's the difference? It's a total crapshoot.
Exactly. There's not much difference here. There's so many bad landing spots where if you had your dynasty rookie draft before the NFL draft, you're sitting there looking at some of the running backs like, oh my God, I just wasted my dynasty draft pick on this guy. Like a guy like Daryl Henderson. Daryl Henderson, third round.
Well, maybe. I mean, who knows what's happening with Todd Gurley?
Let's just talk about this right now. I know Daryl Henderson went off the board in the third round. Sixth pick in the third round.
If I was a Todd Gurley dynasty owner when this happened, I would have panicked completely because
they traded up to get him.
What in the world is going on?
They traded up to get Daryl Henderson. Okay, not only that, but Bobby and I talked about this at length. So Malcolm Brown, a guy who was the backup to Todd Gurley last season, he got hurt, had to miss the end of the year. They brought in CJ Anderson. All of a sudden, CJ Anderson is playing over Todd Gurley. I know CJ Anderson was playing well, but he was playing over Todd Gurley, who reportedly they said he was healthy. Now, Todd Gurley, they say he's still our guy going forward. Malcolm Brown was signed to an offer sheet by the Detroit Lions. All of a sudden, the Rams go, nope, we're going to match that. You are not taking him away from us. So it's like,
you don't do that unless you have plans for that player.
Obviously, they value Malcolm Brown as a backup. They have John Kelly, who they drafted last year. Okay, that's a little worrisome for Todd Gurley, but he's still clearly the leader in the clubhouse. Now they trade up in the third round to take Daryl Henderson. It's like, I think the Rams are telling us right now that, you know, it's no longer a workhorse scenario. I think.
Well, it may be. Maybe they're just planning on, okay, if this knee issue really is actually bad, he's getting like stem cell treatment in his knee. That's the rumor right now. If that happens, what is there, 50, 60, 70% chance he misses at least three games? You want a good backup running back, especially if those games are in the playoffs. We saw what CJ Anderson did for them. Let's get another guy like that. Well, Daryl Henderson's not super overweight or anything. He's actually quite good. 8.9 yards per carry in 2017. I think he's a great backup running back. But yeah, he could have landed in like Oakland or Baltimore, one of these situations, and we'd be drafting him in the fourth round. Now he's what, 12th, 13th round pick?
Yeah, I don't. He's a handcuff at best right now. Because, like, I mean, unless Todd Gurley's hurt.
I mean, who even knows if he's the guy? It could be Malcolm Brown. We thought John Kelly might be the guy last year.
Right. And now John Kelly, is he even on the roster? I mean,
I don't know. John Kelly's Robert Turbin. We can forget about him in Dynasty. Cut him.
Which is crazy. But seriously, like, so Daryl Henderson, that's a guy that is going to drop down Dynasty boards now, where it's like, he's no longer in consideration for first round. And if you.
Not even close.
If you want to go second round, it's like, you could talk about it, but he's not going to give you anything in the first year unless Todd Gurley's hurt. So One player that I would say is in contention with Josh Jacobs for the number one running back slot is David Montgomery. So
I thought you were going to say Miles Sanders because that's what everyone else is saying, but I agree with you. I'd rather have David Montgomery than Miles Sanders, and I like Miles Sanders better. I just don't think it's a great fit in Philadelphia. Everyone looks at Philadelphia and they say, well, Miles Sanders is going to be the workhorse. Who else do they have? Guys, have you seen Doug Peterson coach? He does not believe in workhorses. He doesn't believe in starting running backs. He believes in like four guys splitting the workload every single game. Miles Sanders is going to be in a mess. David Montgomery, he's got some guys to beat out, but he will. He's very good. He's going to be a workhorse in what I think will be a good offense this year.
So the depth chart now is Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, Josh Adams, Corey Clement, Wendell Smallwood, Boston Scott. It's like he's collecting running backs, guys. And the only guy who ever got massive snaps as a running back was Darren Sproles. Miles Sanders is not Darren Sproles. He's not that utility knife that you could use in an offense like that. I like Miles Sanders, and he obviously kicks Jordan Howard, you know, back down on the depth chart because I do think it...
Maybe not to start the season. I bet Jordan Howard starts as the starter.
If you draft a running back at 221, I just feel like you're going to play him right away. And, I mean, it might be a timeshare, and it might depend on game script. Maybe Miles Sanders.
I mean, where'd Ronald Jones go last year?
Ronald Jones was the top of the second.
It's a different situation, obviously, but Jordan Howard is ready to roll. We'll see about Miles Sanders. Sometimes they got to learn the playbook and everything like that. Maybe like week four or week five. I'm not saying that Jordan Howard's going to hold him off all year. Clearly, Miles Sanders is more talented, but I would not bank on Miles Sanders starting 16 games.
I think it's game script dependent, but that's what I'm saying. So David Montgomery, I want to talk about this because everybody knows, obviously, I'm a Bears fan. Okay, I keep my fandom aside when I talk about fantasy football. And
you're very honest about this. You there's no bias. I promise I actually mean that.
Yeah.
You're good with the Bears. I love your analysis on it.
And that's why I want to spend a second to talk about it, because like I told people that I felt like Mike Davis was going to be a steal in drafts because Jordan Howard, regardless of how bad he looked last year in the Bears offense, he still finished as a top 20 PPR running back. That's stupid. Okay. It just kind of tells you Matt Nagy's offense is going to produce points even with Tariq Cohen, you know, finishing as the number 17 running back. So there's room for production. By signing Mike Davis, I felt like the Bears aren't going to spend a whole lot of equity in a running back. Why would they do that after spending $8 million in 2 years?
Well, I mean, if you can get David Montgomery at 3-9, you got to do it, even if you're close to set at running back.
This is where the issue comes in, right? All my friends, you know, they're all diehard Bears fans, but they have a bias, right? They're like, oh, I want a running back, because everybody thinks that running backs matter so much. And I like Dave Montgomery.
And they don't know Mike Davis. They don't know that he's actually a quality running back.
Yes, but David Montgomery and Josh Jacobs were my 1A and 1B. And I told people on this show that David Montgomery was my top running back and it was Josh Jacobs. And it depended on which day. So I love David Montgomery. I think he's a fantastic football player. The Bears gave up a lot to move up. I think it was 12 or 14 spots to get him. So I do love the player. I think he's an upgrade over Mike Davis. I think he's going to play right away. Do I think it was a great thing for the Bears to do? I don't think so. I don't think they needed to do it. But this is about a fantasy side of things. And David Montgomery moving up in the third round suggests that David Montgomery meant an awful lot to the Chicago Bears. And you could start drawing some similarities to someone like Kareem Hunt when he was in Kansas City. Kareem Hunt was taken outside the top two rounds. And like the Chiefs, when Matt Nagy was there, walked in and was like, Kareem Hunt is going to be a boss in this offense. And he was, you know, he was a fantasy league winner. And now David Montgomery.
It's different than Andy Reid, but it's up in that quadrant of, you know, offenses for running backs. I think this is a good situation. But let me ask you this, Tags. Does this kind of remind you of Royce Freeman last year being with Denver? Then he gets passed up by Philip Lindsay. They also drafted my boy, Kareth White Jr., and he's taken over. Let's go.
That is Bobby's boy, because, like, seriously, we were talking about that on the way home, and he's like, you know, Devin Singletary's not even the best running back for Florida Atlantic.
Kareth White Jr. is a better athlete than DK Metcalf. This is not hyperbole. I'm not exaggerating whatsoever. You look up his metrics, the guy is a phenomenal athlete, generational athlete.
Yeah, I mean, he was taken in the seventh round by the Bears, so, I mean, you know, Philip Lindsay was undrafted, all that stuff. We all know that.
That was like a once-in-15-year thing. I'm not actually saying this is going to happen. I like the Kareth White pick, and I'm excited for your Bears, man. You should be happy.
I mean, I love David Montgomery. I'm happy that I'm going to get to root for him. He's a tough guy to bring down. They obviously feel like he can catch passes. Otherwise, they wouldn't have brought him in. So I like him for fantasy. For the Bears, I felt like you traded up a little bit and you gave up quite a bit to move up and take a running back.
Yep, I agree with that. Okay, so we've talked about Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, Daryl Henderson, David Montgomery. I think the top three are pretty obvious. Jacobs, and then I would go Montgomery and Sanders. Other people would go Sanders and Montgomery, but who is number four? Because we've got Daryl Henderson with the Rams. No. Damian Harrison to the Patriots. I don't understand that one. No. Devin Singletary might start for the Bills before long. I've got Justice Hill from the Ravens. What do you think?
Oh, man. This one's really tough. Like, Alexander Mattison, the Vikings spent a third round pick on him, which is like kind of crazy. I didn't think he should have went that high. I know some people are really high on him, but Dalvin Cook's in his way there. So it's like, I don't want to spend too much there.
He's a Latavius Murray replacement, right? He's this big old back, super strong, 220 pounds.
For sure. And I guess I would probably say Devin Singletary just because, and I don't even think he's going to produce this year. I think it's more of like a long-term thing because they have Frank Gore, they have LeSean McCoy who are going to be there one more year. TJ Yeldon wasn't valued very much in free agency, so you can't really worry too much about him.
So you think Singletary's so much better than Justice Hill, or at least better enough that even though he's not going to start right away and Justice Hill likely will, you would rather have Singletary?
I wanted to see Justin Hill in like somewhat of like a spread type offense where, like, you know, like almost like an Alvin Kamara situation where he's using a timeshare and get him in the open field where
I think it's a perfect fit with Lamar Jackson, not because, you know, the offense is perfect for him, but because he's going to get more touches because Lamar Jackson passes the ball 15 times a game. They're going to run the ball 40 times. And sure, Lamar Jackson's going to have 15 of those. But if Justice Hall's the running back there, and I think he's probably the favorite to start, we're looking at 250 carries in a season.
Yeah, I would say Justin Hill will outproduce Devin Singletary this year. I will agree with you on that. I just don't know long term if it's like the greatest landing spot.
Yeah. I see. Now that's the difference between us, I guess, is when I'm drafting running backs in Dynasty, I don't care about projecting the future. It's all about what they can give me this year. I'll figure the future out later because it just changes so quickly.
Yeah, that's not bad. And so speaking of future and like some guys that I want to mention running backs before we move on here, what are the Bengals doing? They have Joe Mixon on their roster, okay? He's a young guy. He played fantastic last year. You have Giovanni Bernard, who's going to be out of town before long. So I know you need to add some depth. But adding Travion Williams and then Rodney Anderson, it's like, what are you guys doing? Like, one of them, yes, that's fine. You know, have a good backup. I get it. I'm not a huge Travion Williams guy myself. I actually think that Rodney Anderson, I love Rodney Anderson. Like,
substantially better, in my opinion, yeah.
Rodney Anderson's a great, like, risk pick. Like, understand that there's some injury risk there, but when he's on the field, he's going to be good. I just don't know. I don't know why they take both those guys. It drove me nuts.
Yeah. Okay, the one pick I want to talk about, and it's not because I'm a Jags fan. It's because a lot of people that I respect quite a bit in the industry are really excited about Rykel Armstead. They said something along the lines of, you're going to want to make sure that you get Leonard Fournette as a handcuff for Rykel Armstead this year. Because, you know, they don't love Fournette. He hasn't especially been great. And a lot of that's been the offensive line, which I think they fixed a little bit this weekend, and health will fix that. But this guy Armstead, he runs a lot like Chris Carson, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, I guess you could say he's kind of like a Leonard Fournette in terms of like, this dude does not avoid contact at all. Like, he's just
big, super fast. Yeah, he could take any play to the house. He's kind of like a good version of Isaiah Crowell.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good comparison. Just like a little bit more explosive, I would say, than Isaiah Crowell. But I think he's a great backup for Fournette. I think that he's like close to as similar as they could have gotten without spending a high round pick. I mean, the fifth round. I didn't watch him as closely as I did some of the other prospects, so I don't want to give like a massive take on him right here, but I'm with you. There's a lot of guys that in the industry that I do respect.
Well, he's going to beat out Alfred Blue, right? Like, let's say the inevitable happens. Leonard Fournette gets hurt in the preseason right before your draft. Where are you taking Rykel Armstead? Like, sixth round?
Yeah, I mean, he'd be the starting lineup because Alfred Blue is nobody.
In a running offense. I mean, you can say what you want about Nick Foles. It's still a running offense.
Yeah, I'd say a high-end RB3, most likely.
All right, anyone else you want to talk about at the running back position?
Bryce Love went to Washington, apparently, where they're just collecting running backs.
Is Bryce Love even going to make the roster? They draft him the fourth round. He's like their number five running back.
He's going to make the roster. The question is, who are they going to cut?
Yeah, they're probably cutting AP.
I mean, they just signed him to a contract. Are they going to cut Chris Thompson? And they're obviously going to cut Samaje Perine.
I mean, maybe he's not even going to play this year, kind of like Joe Williams. He did tear his ACL in the regular season finale. Maybe they're just waiting until AP goes away. And then Bryce Love fills in as the backup to Darius Geis.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It was a weird landing spot, and I have no idea why they were on him. I like taking a flyer on a running back like Bryce Love, but in the fourth round, when you already have running backs in place, nah.
All right, Tags, we're going to move on over and talk some wide receivers here in just a minute. But first, it is now go time for fantasy football rookie drafts. If your current site makes league updates harder than they need to be, It's time to try something better. Fleet Flicker understands the struggles of being a fantasy football commissioner. They make life a lot easier with features like email drafts, new rookie-only drafts, and the ability to easily configure multiple drafts, make coordination a breeze. Your league's really going to appreciate the ability to trade year-round, include future draft picks, add in lightning-fast live scoring, an easy-to-use interface, powerful commissioner tools, and dynasty features like taxi squads. Plus, you can customize your heart's content with 125 scoring rules and 12 NFL positions. They've just launched new mobile apps that look amazing, have the smoothest interface imaginable, and Flea Flickr's partners with us, Fantasy Pros, to provide reliable rankings and projections. And best of all, Flea Flicker is 100% free. Visit fleaflicker.com/pros today. That's FLEAflicker.com/pros. Don't miss out on fantasy sports done right. One more time, that's fleaflicker.com/pros. All right, tags, wide receivers. N'Keal Harry is the guy for me, and it's really not even close. I mean, you knew me. I had Harry as my number one wide receiver going into the draft. The landing spot is obviously ideal. I don't like him enough to be, like, stoked about him in dynasty leagues. He is my 1-1. With that said, most years I would consider him like a 1-5, 1-6 type of player. So if you've got the 1-1 pick and you have someone who's in love with Harry or Jacobs, I would trade out of the pick, no doubt about it. Even if I'm picking number 2, number 3, number 4, I'd be trying to trade out. But do you think N'Keal Harry is by far the top wide receiver in dynasty?
I'd say I'll probably put him there at number one.
Who else would you consider? I mean, it can't be A.J. Brown, who went to the Titans. D.K. Metcalf fell almost to the third round. So what are you saying? Is it Deebo Samuel? Marquise Brown?
No, I think Paris Campbell is someone I would consider.
Oh, yeah.
Marquise Brown could be.
All these guys are so close, except for Harry for me.
Yeah, I mean, Harry, the thing is, I've talked about it ad nauseum, that I'm not a huge fan of his talent. I think he's fine.
Does it change your mind knowing that Bill Belichick loves him?
No, it doesn't, because Bill Belichick historically has been bad at selecting receivers. They rarely select wide receiver. Like, they don't select first-round wide receivers, so this is like an exception. I actually was going through, and I'm going to be doing for the site, I'm going to be doing my draft grades, so I started going through them as soon as I got back from Nashville, and looking at that, I actually liked a lot of the Patriots draft picks. The one that I didn't necessarily love was N'Keal Harry. I felt like A.J. Brown is a better player through and through. And he obviously went, you know, like 20 picks later. A.J. Brown went to a bad situation. Like, he's now stuck with Corey Davis in Tennessee purgatory.
Here we go again.
N'Keal Harry, he's got Tom Brady, yes. But, I mean, Tom Brady played with Josh Gordon, who's obviously pro-ready, all that stuff. He gained separation. He could be used all over the field.
Well, also, he might be playing this season.
I don't think he's playing. I think people are... I think that's a topic we're going to talk about pretty soon, but I don't think he's going to play. He was already suspended for a full year, and I don't think that this time is going to, they're going to lower the suspension for another repeat offense. So I don't think he's playing, but N'Keal Harry, how long does he get to play with Tom Brady? I mean, I think Tom Brady, one more season maybe?
And it's not like, Tom Brady is the guy that you want in the playoff. I would argue Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady. Maybe you could put Drew Brees in the conversation, Patrick Mahomes, whatever, okay? Tom Brady's still really good. But in terms of putting up fantasy production, he's my QB 18. I think that's going to be the standard in the industry, right around that 15 to 20 mark. He's not going to pile up fantasy points for receivers. And I get it. Rob Gronkowski's gone, but they've still got Julian Edelman. They've still got Julian Edelman. They just signed Demaryius Thomas. I'm not sure that N'Keal Harry walks into a ton of targets to make him even a wide receiver 3 from the get-go.
Yeah, the thing I do like about the landing spot for Harry is that you wanted him to go to a quarterback that'll trust him in a one-on-one situation. And Tom Brady will do that as long as you don't give him a reason not to. And N'Keal Harry is really good in contested catch situations. So I do like him in the fact that the landing spot, and that's why he is my number one receiver right now.
N'Keal Harry's like a lesser version of Mike Williams, right? Because a lot of people would trade Mike Williams for the 1-1 in a heartbeat. And I think you've got to do that if you can.
I'd take Mike Williams over N'Keal Harry right now.
Not even close for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's proven that he can play in the NFL. Obviously, you know, double digit touchdowns last year.
And hardly even played.
Yeah. He was playing behind two other receivers. So yeah, I would take Mike Williams. Like, so if you're faced with that decision, or if somebody's offering you Mike Williams for that number one pick, I'd take Mike Williams if you're looking at N'Keal Harry. But Paris Campbell landing with the Colts in the second round. Now, this was a mistake on the Chiefs' part. The Chiefs picked Mecole Hardman at 224. What are you doing? When Paris Campbell's on the...
I thought you said the Colts' fault. I was like, you're wrong, man. Paris Campbell to the Colts is a great pickup.
It's a fantastic pickup. I almost couldn't ask for a better fit for them because he's going to go into the slot. He can be used all over the field. And I'm sure Frank Reich's going to figure out ways to make that happen because he does move T.Y. Hilton around the formation. Trying to follow Paris Campbell and T.Y. Hilton, good luck opposing defenses. Chester Rogers, take a seat on the bench.
Would it have surprised you if Campbell was the first wide receiver off the board?
No.
He's talented enough.
No, that's the thing. Is some people feel like Ohio State didn't use him to his full potential. And I'm one of those people to feel like Paris Campbell, if he gets a little bit more consistent in his game speed, because he's someone I wrote a profile on, I like him a lot. I really do.
So who is he? Is he Curtis Samuel? Is he Golden Tate?
No, he's not that type of player. He's got so much speed that it's effortless to him. He's one of those guys that just runs, and you just feel like there's still more left in the tank, and it's just like, I want to see him play more consistent. He's a guy that's going to play a lot of slot. He's a 4-3-1 guy, so he runs a 4-3-1, so people are like, oh, he's a small slot guy. No, he's not small. He's 6 foot. He's over 200 pounds. He's not a small guy. He's not going to just, you know, go down by the, you know, if someone tackles him by his shoelace. But he can be used all over the place. I feel like he could be like a Percy Harvin type player. And I know Percy Harvin was a guy who dealt with a lot of injuries. He had the migraine issues, was forced to retire early. I think Paris Campbell can be that type of player.
Especially in this offense, right? Somebody asked me, you know, who's going to be your 1-1? And I said, oh, I don't know where anyone's going to land, but who's going to go to the Colts in the second round? That's who I want. And it's Paris Campbell, who's really good.
That's the thing, is we talked about landing spot, right? And this is one of those landing spots where Paris Campbell just landed in a great spot. I also think, I know that DK Metcalf fell to the end of the second round. Okay, this is, to me, it's crazy.
But he's still going to be starting him, and Doug Baldwin's career is probably over, right?
Yes, if you guys have not heard, this was the big piece of news that kind of dropped in the middle of the draft, and some people might have missed, is that Doug Baldwin has already had 3 surgeries this offseason, and Adam Schefter is reporting that it's likely that he never plays a down of football in the NFL again, which is just, it's sad. You know, Doug Baldwin, great talent, one of the better route runners out there. But if he doesn't play, all these targets are up for grabs. Even if Russell Wilson's throwing the ball 450 times a year, those targets got to go somewhere. They really don't have a big, huge target tight end. Tyler Lockett's not a 120 target type guy. You know, if Doug Baldwin's gone, it's like, these targets got to go somewhere, guys. And DK Metcalf, I know he's not polished, but I do know this. Russell Wilson, when he throws to his receivers, he's awfully accurate. And DK Metcalf can win a lot of jump balls. He can outrun a lot of people. And if Russell Wilson's extending the play, DK Metcalf, second round pick, first round pick, doesn't even matter. Playing with Russell Wilson is boosting his stock. So for me, DK Metcalf is in the conversation.
I mean, he's not polished, but it's not like he's incompetent. Like, you throw the guy the football and he gets separation, he's going to be fine.
I think DK Metcalf can be considered for the number one receiver.
Wow, okay. I mean, I think he's in the neighborhood. You already mentioned the guys I would rather have. N'Keal Harry, Paris Campbell. I would still even put A.J. Brown in there because I think A.J. Brown is that much better than DK Metcalf. And not just because Metcalf fell. I've always been this way. I had Metcalf outside my top 50 big board, and a lot of people were pretty upset about it. But, you know, I just don't see it when I watch the film. I get the upside. I think N'Keal Harry has as much upside and is more polished. And now I love the landing spot a lot more as well. So we've got these guys we've talked about. Harry, Brown, Campbell, Metcalf. What about Deebo Samuel? What about Marquise Brown? Are these the next tier for you?
Yeah, I think Marquise Brown would be over Deebo. I just think Marquise...
It just sucks because Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, no, I get that. And the thing is, but Lamar Jackson can extend a play. And here's the reason that I have a little bit more optimism for Marquise Brown than maybe I did if he was drafted by them a week ago. Because we know what the Ravens did in the draft. And what they did in the draft was terrible things. They're one of the biggest losers in the draft for me. And not necessarily
because... Well, the whole offseason, like, they got rid of their whole defense and didn't do anything to fix it.
Yeah, that's my issue with them. I don't know what their plan is to replace the play. I mean, they lost C.J. Mosley, Za'Darius Smith, Terrell Suggs. I don't know what they're doing to replace those guys. Earl Thomas can only do so much. So... I like Marquise Brown. I think he's a DeSean Jackson type player. Like, and that's a very, very underrated player.
Well, he's not even ready to play. Like, he's not going to play much this year.
And no, he had a Lisfranc injury. So, you know, pass catchers with Lisfranc injuries tend to have issues that year. I don't want to rely on him. They drafted Miles Boykin. Okay. They drafted Justin Hill. Okay. Jalen Ferguson fell to the third round for a reason, guys. Like, there's some question marks about him. So I think that the Ravens defense will not be the lockdown unit they've been over the last decade. And I feel like Marquise Brown and Lamar Jackson are going to have some more attempts because of that. They're not going to be able to play that ball control style offense because they don't have the defense to contain other teams. So I think Marquise Brown, I like him more knowing that the Ravens totally just ignored their defense. So I just feel like they're going to have to throw a little bit more. Lamar Jackson can extend the play, similar to what Kyler Murray did at Oklahoma. So Marquise Brown can get open. You're not going to be able to stay with him as a DB for more than a few seconds.
And like, I like Paris Campbell more than Marquise Brown. But if Paris Campbell went to Baltimore and Marquise Brown went to Baltimore, I'd like Marquise Brown more because it fits Lamar Jackson's type of play a lot better. it's not a great landing spot because there's not going to be that many targets. There's not going to be that many touchdowns. But Marquise Brown is the playmaker that the Ravens need. It's a good fit in pure football terms. But yeah, I'd rather have A.J. Brown for sure. And maybe J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
I think I might take Marquise Brown over A.J. Brown. And that's not because of talent, because A.J. Brown was my number one receiver in this draft class. But I hate the landing spot for A.J. Brown.
You just think Lamar Jackson's a better passer than Marcus Mariota. Is that what you're saying?
No, because Corey Davis is the best receiver there still. But Deebo Samuel, they took him, you know, the fourth pick in the second round, so they, clearly they like him. They like him a lot. But my issue is that Deebo Samuel's kind of like a jack-of-all-trades, master of none. And I feel like Dante Pettis is already kind of that guy. So I think that those two are going to collide in somewhat of their roles. I would have preferred to see Hakeem Butler for the Cardinals rather than Deebo Samuel. That's where I'm at with it. But
well, they could have got him two rounds later.
It seems like George Kittle is just going to be the possession receiver for them, and Deebo Samuel and Dante Pettis are going to be moved all over the formation. You're going to have Marquise Goodwin stretching the field. But they also...
Yeah, give me Travis Kelce at pick 112 right now. I don't care. Give him to me.
Pretty much. But Jalen Hurd, top of the third round. The 49ers went and got Jalen Hurd. So Jalen Hurd was one of my sleepers in this draft.
He's a long way away. Like, he's a guy we'll be talking about in 3 years where it's like, hey, you remember Jalen Hurd? He's going to get some targets this year. He'll be really good. It's not happening now.
Dude, I'm telling you, this kid caught on quick at Baylor. Like, first-year wide receiver, like, going from running for over 1,000 yards to a wide receiver, doing what he did, almost 1,000 yards, I think 6 touchdowns. He's going to be a player. And he's not going to start right away, but if Marquise Goodwin were to miss any more time, Jalen Hurd...
How is he a running back? 6'5", 226?
The guy is a freak athlete, and he still ran the ball. Even when he went to Baylor and turned into a wide receiver, they used him as a running back at times. So he's that guy I talked about on our show saying that it's possible the NFL, he might be Cordarrelle Patterson in the new age NFL, which would actually work a lot better than Cordarrelle Patterson when he was drafted, you know, a handful of years ago. So I'm not in love with Deebo Samuel from a fantasy perspective. I just think that him and that receiving corps, it's just an odd one. I'm not in love with it.
There's four more important guys that we definitely need to talk about. Maybe a few other stragglers that you might be interested in, but Hardman with the Chiefs. It looks like the Tyreek Hill situation. I don't want to speculate too much, but it is our jobs to look at, you know, the news that's coming out. I don't think Tyreek Hill is going to end up with the Chiefs. That's not me saying that he's absolutely guilty. That's also not me saying that he definitely is not guilty. I just don't know the specifics, so I'm not going to just assume anything. But with that said, it's sounding like Tyreek Hill might not be there. So Hardman may start with Patrick Mahomes, and then we've got Andy Isabella going to the Cardinals. I get it, Larry Fitzgerald's still there, but they went out and got him in the second round. Hakeem Butler dropped all the way to the fourth round, also with the Cardinals. And then Terry McLaurin. I know you're not a big fan of McLaurin, but he went to Washington, and they don't really have much there, so I think he'll be involved from day one.
Yeah, so the thing to like about McLaurin is that he went to, so the Redskins drafted him, now he's teaming back up with his quarterback. Dwayne Haskins is also there, so the teammates reunite. Andy Isabella and Hakeem Butler going to Arizona. I think it was, I honestly, here's how I feel about Arizona. I feel like their draft was so good, like outside of Kyler Murray.
Except for Kyler Murray. And I don't hate Kyler Murray. I just wish they would have kept Josh Rosen and then drafted Nick Bosa, and then their draft would have been perfect.
How do we not mention the fact that I said before the draft, I said, you better trade Josh Rosen before this draft. Otherwise, you're losing all leverage. They lost every ounce of leverage. Not only did the Dolphins not give them their number 48 pick or whatever it was, but they traded back with the Saints and then traded that pick and not only got Josh Rosen, they got a fifth round pick in return. So my issue with this whole thing, and again, Bobby and I had a chance to talk so much this weekend, so we've talked about this already, but I feel like Cliff Kingsbury, if you can't make a quarterback work in your system, that tells me that you're not very good at adapting for your players' strengths, which tells me that you're already off on the wrong foot. If you need Kyler Murray to run your offense, do you remember, by the way, when he ran Baker Mayfield out of Texas Tech? Oh, I don't want Baker Mayfield. I want this guy. Maybe Cliff Kingsbury might not be a great coach. I'm just going to throw that out there. He got off on a wrong foot with me, but Byron Murphy.
The rest of his draft was really good.
Andy Isabella, Zach Allen, Hakeem Butler, Deontay Thompson, Keyshawn Johnson. Like, they had an awesome draft after that. And then they took Caleb Wilson with Mr. Irrelevant pick.
I thought Caleb Wilson was going to go third round, dude.
A lot of people did.
Like, 20 tight ends taken before him.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was a very good draft for them. And I totally agree. We ended up switching out our mocks, which, by the way, that sucked because we were hearing this news about Quinnen Williams is probably going to go 1.1 now, and then they still took Kyler Murray. So no one who – all the people who didn't believe the news all beat us in the mock drafts because – we had it all along, and then we were like, oh, we should probably fiddle with this right before the draft and screw everything up. In fact, Tags would have finished second out of like 130 people if he hadn't changed from his written mock draft, and he didn't quite finish that high.
But no, if Kyler Murray does turn out to be the real deal, and I'm wrong, I don't think he's going to be great.
He could. He's got the skill set, right? He has a better skill set than Russell Wilson, and that's his upside comp. But I think Cliff Kingsbury thinks, I can turn him into Russell Wilson. You just can't create a Russell Wilson. You have to have the mindset. You have to have the work ethic. You have to have the understanding of the game. And maybe Kyler does have that. I don't know, but I'm not assuming that he's Russell Wilson, okay?
He's not. He's not Russell Wilson. I'll go ahead and say that. But they did surround him with...
Would you rather have Josh Rosen?
I said that I would. You know, they obviously are different quarterbacks.
I mean, and that's not even the question, right? I mean, maybe Kyler Murray is better than Josh Rosen. Would you rather have Nick Bosa and Josh Rosen? Yes.
Yes, I would rather have those two than Kyler Murray. So that's basically what it comes down to. But either way, if he turns out to be good, they surrounded him with great players. Byron Murphy, love that pick. There's so many reasons I love their draft. They did a great job after Kyler Murray. And it's not to say that it was a terrible pick, I guess, but I would have stayed with Rosen, taken Bosa. But it's not my team.
Any other wide receivers you want to talk about? Riley Ridley, Kelvin Harmon.
He's not going to play. The one that I do want to talk about that went in the second round is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I like him. I really do like him as a player. But my issue, I don't know what the Eagles are doing here. The reason I say that is because Alshon Jeffery's not a slot receiver. He barely ever goes into the slot. DeSean Jackson hasn't played in the slot for years. He's afraid to go over the middle of the field after he got labeled early in his career. So he's a field stretcher. And then you get Arcega-Whiteside, who is not a slot receiver. Can he play there at times? Sure. But
he's kind of like Chris Godwin light, in my opinion.
He seems like he's like a guy that I feel like they drafted maybe to take place of Alshon Jeffery when his contract's up. But it feels weird to say you're going to select him in the second round. I like the player. Don't like the landing spot right now. It just doesn't seem like there's a place in the field for him.
I mean, so it's Nelson Aguilar in this slot, and injuries do happen. Maybe it's the kind of thing like Dante Pettis where he doesn't start right away, and then eventually he gets in the lineup when an injury does happen, and he'll play in one of these spots, probably not the slot. But I would imagine Alshon Jeffery, lots of soft tissue injury history. DeSean Jackson hasn't exactly been super healthy his entire career either, so you know, we'll see what happens there. You know, Tex, before we move on, there's actually one other wide receiver I want to talk about, and I cannot believe he went undrafted because he's one of my top 10 wide receivers, and I think you agree with me. In fact, a lot of the people in the industry think Emmanuel Hall is going to be a quality NFL wide receiver. Your Bears signed him as a UDFA.
Love it. I love it. And the thing is like there are some things to his game that were a little inconsistent, but there's flashes of brilliance in his game and in his route running.
He's a dog, man. He can play some football.
And that's what he said, because someone asked him on Twitter. They're like, oh, you're going to use this as motivation? He's like, believe me when I tell you that, I don't need motivation. Like, whoever takes a chance on me, we'll get a dog. You know, the Bears got him right after. He was like the one that they went after.
He's way better than Riley Ridley. I mean, we were in the car. They drafted Riley Ridley. You're like, I mean, that's fine, but I would have much rather had Emmanuel Hall, and I totally agree. No doubt about it.
It's really nuts that he lasted as long as he did. Like, he's a 4-3 guy that could blow the top off the defense. I think that he does have some quickness underneath that allows him to get open. He's very smart when it comes to shading a defender and manipulating him in a way to almost open his back shoulder. I like Emmanuel Hall an awful lot. He reminds me of Mike Wallace.
I love that.
And the thing is like, I don't understand for the life of me why he went undrafted. You know, something scares me about that. But I mean, there have been guys that have been undrafted before that have turned out to be studs. So I just hope this is one of those cases.
And don't tell the Broncos this, but Emmanuel Hall made Drew Lock. Clearly, Drew Lock has a big arm and everything. He would have been drafted regardless. But I think that his stats were a lot better because Emmanuel Hall is a lot better than people realize.
I just think that this was a big miss by the NFL. Like, unless there's something that comes out that there was an injury that we don't know about or something like that, or he...
We were saying this about Philip Lindsay last year, too. Like, it's not like we're boneheads or anything.
That's the thing. There's a lot of people that would agree with us in the fact that Emmanuel Hall, we didn't understand why he was still there. But me personally, I wanted him to go to the Saints like in the second, third round. I felt like he was worthy of that. So to see him go to the Bears, I'm happy because Taylor Gabriel, if for whatever reason something happens, he can walk right into that role.
So Tags, I know you know this about me, right? I've got to be honest. I'm not typically stylish. I mean, it's not because I don't want to be. I just don't know what to wear. So I wore my new Flag and Anthem shirt to the draft, and Flag and Anthem made me look great this weekend. I don't have to worry about micro trends or any of that. They gave me classic styles that have always and will always be cool. The shirt fits perfectly, not too thin, not too boxy. I was super comfortable. At Flag and Anthem, they've been making men's clothes for 35 years, and they don't take shortcuts. This is the type of clothes you want to wear on a first date, to a concert, to the NFL draft, and you don't have to break the bank to wear Flag and Anthem. It's affordable, and you will look great. Guys, I sincerely mean this. I love my new shirts. I'm certain that you will as well.
And best of all, Flag and Anthem has given all of our listeners a special offer. Either go to flagandanthem.com/fantasypros or enter promo code FLAGFANTASY at checkout for 20% off your order. Again, that's flagandanthem.com/fantasypros or enter promo code FLAGFANTASY, all one word, at checkout for 20% off.
All right, man, let's go quarterbacks here. And I want to talk about quarterbacks from the perspective of super flex leagues, because obviously, none of these guys are even draftable. Maybe Kyler Murray in a redraft league. I think I've got him like QB 15, QB 16 right now, so I'm not drafting him. But in a super flex league, especially for if it's Dynasty super flex, he's my 1-1 over N'Keal Harry. And frankly, it's not even close. I wouldn't trade out of that 1-1 pick. He's deserving.
Yeah, when you basically give up what you gave up in order to draft Kyler Murray, and I know they didn't give up anything to technically get 1-1, but in terms of like what they gave up with Josh Rosen and what they gave up to acquire him, all that stuff, Kyler Murray's going to get every chance in the world to succeed. Like, the Cardinals can't say, oh, we missed on Josh Rosen. We're going to totally just admit that we missed and we're going to sell for nothing, and now we're going to take Kyler Murray. They can't do that again. They really can't. Like, if Kyler Murray turns out to not play so well this year, they can't take a quarterback again next year. It's just not going to happen. So Kyler Murray's going to get an opportunity. He is a mobile quarterback. And as you can see, like guys like Josh Allen, not a great passer, doesn't matter. That rushing total is what you're looking for, and Kyler Murray's going to give it to you. Like, he's going to bring that slipperiness to the table. Like, he's the type of guy that can rush for 800 yards in the NFL. Do I think it's going to be 800? I don't know. Kingsbury's offense should be pretty fast-paced. So, I mean, I'd like to think that there's going to be some numbers that he could put up. Would it shock me if he posts top 12 redraft numbers this year? No, because he's going to start from day one. So Kyler Murray, yeah, I'd probably take him at 1-1 because he's like a sure thing in terms of production in a super flex league.
Yeah. I mean, like we said, we don't love the football player. He's good. He's a first round quality pick because of his upside. I'm not exactly sure what his floor is. I don't think it's all that great. But in terms of fantasy, you don't have to be a great football player to put up fantasy stats. Tim Tebow was a QB1 when he played. I don't think anyone is going to argue that Kyler Murray is better than Tim Tebow. He's a better version of Tim Tebow. Not that he's, you know, this big fullback type of guy playing quarterback, but he's going to pile up the rushing yards is what I'm saying in terms of fantasy production. So, yeah, Kyler Murray is a great pick. I do want to talk about Josh Rosen landing with the Miami Dolphins. You know, he's less than a year older than Tua, who's going to be drafted next year. It's not like this guy's future's decimated. He's still 22 years old. He just turned 22. He's got a long future, but is he going to start over Ryan Fitzpatrick right away?
That was a conversation I also had with someone at the draft, and I said yes. I believe that Josh Rosen does start, and I believe it's because they didn't know they were going to be able to get Rosen for as cheap as they did, and they were planning to play with Fitzpatrick and then kind of just like tank for Tua or whatever they're doing, or, you know, but drafting a quarterback next year. And now that they had him for that cheap, it's like, okay, if we put him under center and he doesn't play well, we can kind of move on and we can draft a quarterback in the first round next year. That's not like, it's not the biggest loss.
Because it's not that big of a sunken cost. You're right. And let me say this. If Josh Rosen was in this draft, Miami Dolphins would have taken him at 13 without hesitation, in my opinion. In fact, I think he would have gone 1-1.
No, he wouldn't have gone 1-1 because the Cardinals had that pick.
The reason they moved on from him is because they didn't like what they saw. What I'm saying is, when you looked at him as a prospect last year, it's like, okay, well, maybe he's not Baker Mayfield, but this is someone who could go 1-1 in a great quarterback class. This is not a great quarterback class. Kyler Murray went 1-1 out of desperation. If we didn't know what we saw about Josh Rosen, we just saw who he was as a prospect, I think he would have been the top guy in this class. I think he's still got the potential.
I would agree with you there in terms of that. Like, if he was in this class, like, how would I have ranked them? I probably would have had Rosen over Haskins. It would have been close. I think that those two are close because I wasn't huge on Rosen. I wanted to be clear about that. And when I said that I'd rather have Josh Rosen than Kyler Murray, it's because, like, I just feel safer. I feel like I know what I'm getting with him. Whereas Kyler Murray, there's just a whole bunch of things that worry me about his game, and not even his height. Like, his height is just like one little thing, and it's not even a big thing to me. It came down to his play. So, yeah, I think the Dolphins got, I think they stole Josh Rosen. Even if he doesn't pan out, they didn't pay much for him.
All right, so rookie QB2 in dynasty formats, Daniel Jones went number 6 to the Giants. Dwayne Haskins went number 15 to the Redskins. Drew Locke went number 42 to the Broncos. And I'm going to add another name in here because I think people should be thinking about him. I mean, Tags, you remember Matt Castle, right? Tom Brady went down. They won like 12, 13 games because Bill Belichick and his system help quarterbacks. I'm not saying he made Tom Brady one of the greatest of all time. Tom Brady's clearly absolutely amazing. But if Tom Brady didn't have Bill Belichick, I don't think we'd be talking about him as a GOAT. I think if Philip Rivers was with Bill Belichick, we'd be talking about him as the GOAT. I think that Bill Belichick will make whoever replaces Tom Brady a very good real-life quarterback. And Jarrett Stidham is the same type of player. I think he belongs in this conversation. I don't know if it's going to be next year. I don't know if it's going to be 3 years from now. But I do think Jarrett Stidham is going to be the starting quarterback in Bill Belichick's system for a long time. And so that makes him really interesting to me.
I like Jarrett Stidham. I had him right there in the conversation with the guys like Will Greer. So I definitely believe,
I mean, there was a point where he was the QB one in this draft class. He's got the big arm. He's got the upside. He has a lot of experience and we'll see what happens. Maybe he realizes that potential. He could have gone number one had he not had kind of a rough senior season in Auburn.
Yeah. I liked him. So this is a pick that like, basically it was like the Patriots, like, you don't have to take much of a chance here. It's like in the fourth round, he fell that far. I thought the Chargers may have taken a chance a little bit earlier than that. But they didn't. So, but
Will Greer fell to 336.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Falling there to the Panthers. That was, that kind of tells you that they're looking at Cam Newton a little bit closer than some people think. You know, if Cam Newton doesn't get it together, yeah, like taking Will Greer there in the third round, it's kind of like, okay, Cam, get your act together. Because they've been saying this. They've been saying that we don't know if we're going to hold on to Cam Newton. I think that they...
Why does everyone still think he's like a top five quarterback in the NFL? He's not top 15. I get it. He was the MVP for one season. Besides that, he's been mediocre. He's been, well, a little bit better than Andy Dalton. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, and the thing is like, he's starting to lose some of his mobility. You know, with all these injuries piling up, the concussions, if you take away Cam Newton's mobility, you don't have a very good quarterback. So, yeah, I think it's right for the Panthers to take Will Greer there. I think he fell far enough for them to, you know, to take him without hesitation.
Yeah, and it's perfect if Cam Newton is not ready to start the season, because Will Greer, I think, is as polished as any quarterback in this draft class. I think he's very close to his ceiling already, but he can help an NFL team now and it's not going to be a disaster.
Yeah, he's a guy that doesn't improvise very well, but he's a guy that if you have a system and everything is based on time, his receivers should be able to get open. They got a bunch of slippery guys there. I think Greer can do just fine. I think
he's the ultimate backup quarterback. He's a perfect third round pick.
But Stidham, I think that's a great pick, but he's like a stash in dynasty leagues. You know that he's not going to play right now.
Yeah, like Mason Rudolph, who I would still hang on to. I still like Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, I would actually prefer Jarrett Stidham, knowing the spot and knowing that Ben Roethlisberger now signed a...
Me too. And Antonio Brown's gone.
Correct. That doesn't help.
Yeah, and Le'Veon Bell's gone. So Daniel Jones or Dwayne Haskins then? Or Drew Locke?
I would take Dwayne Haskins, just because now you're talking about guys that aren't going to start right away, and you're talking about, like, are any of them mobile? Not really.
Well, he's just a lot better than the other guys. Like, Jones and Locke are classic second-round picks that just quarterback-needy teams fell in love with them, and I guess Drew Locke did go in the second round, but Dwayne Haskins is a real first-round guy.
Yeah, I believe that there's a lot of potential there. Now, he is a guy that requires some development, and that's fine, and I don't think he's going to start right away. I think you're going to have Case Keenum out there for at least, you know, the first 4 to 6 games, and then you might move to Haskins if you feel he's ready in practice. But yeah, I like Haskins, and I feel like Jay Gruden got a lot out of Kirk Cousins, and it's possible that he does the same with Haskins. I mean, I'm not willing to write him off. And Gruden, let's not forget about what he did. Robert Griffin III, too. You know, his rookie season was very, very good. So I think Jay Gruden could be a good quarterback coach. We might just overlook it at times.
Yeah, I think of Dwayne Haskins kind of like Jimmy G Light. Obviously, he doesn't have like the GQ looks or anything like that. And he's not with Kyle Shanahan. And he didn't, you know, sit behind Tom Brady and then look really good for 4 games. The fit isn't as good, but I think they're kind of similar types of talent. He doesn't have a surrounding cast right now, but he's going to be a guy who gets the passing yards. He's going to get the touchdowns. He can't run whatsoever, though. So, like, his ceiling is QB10. And that's not a great ceiling for Dynasty, but Superflex League, yeah, he's a decent pick.
He reminds me of Ben Roethlisberger, like a little bit smaller version of Ben Roethlisberger, but they're both like bigger guys. And they both have massive arms.
You realize you're comparing him to someone who may be in the Hall of Fame, right?
I know that, but I'm talking about the style of quarterback that he is. But the reason I'm saying that is, even though Ben Roethlisberger is a Hall of Famer, as you mentioned, his ceiling has...
Well, do you think he actually is a Hall of Famer? Because I don't. I think he will be. I don't think he deserves to be.
I think that he's someone that you can make the counter. I understand why people would say yes, and I also understand that people would say no. I say he's teetering. I'd be fine if he was in. If he didn't get in, I wouldn't throw a fit. But that's what I'm saying.
It's not like Eli Manning, where if he gets in and he's going to get in, I'm going to throw a huge fit.
If Ben Roethlisberger gets into the Hall of Fame, Philip Rivers, damn sure better too.
And the obvious 1-1 is actually Clayton Thorson, but we won't get into that. Let's move on to tight ends here. TJ Hockenson went 8 to the Lions. Jags, we kept saying there's no way he's going top 10, and here we are. They did it again.
And I'm going to bury the Detroit Lions draft grade because of that. And it's not because TJ Hockenson's a bad player. The reason that they're going to get docked on this is because Jelani Tavai is a guy, a linebacker they took in the second round, okay? A guy that wasn't expected to go until day 3. TJ Hockenson, the difference between TJ Hockenson and someone like an Irv Smith that you could have gotten the second round, and the difference between Devin Bush, who they could have taken with this pick, and Tavai is massive.
I think they were just so disappointed that Clelin Ferrell wasn't there, because I thought the Lions were going to get Ferrell, man.
I don't know. The thing is, Ferrell, I like him in a 4-3. I think so with Patricia running somewhat of a hybrid in Detroit, I didn't know if he'd be a great fit there. But Hockenson, I like Hockenson. And actually, when I did his player profile, I liked him more than I initially did. I did start to like the player a lot more, and I understand why people like him. But the difference in linebackers was massive. And at 1-8, they should have taken Devin Bush. Instead, they let the Steelers trade up right in front of the Bengals, who are going to take Bush and take him. So, I mean, Hockenson, from a fantasy perspective, couldn't have landed in a much better spot, to be honest with you. They don't have a tight end on the roster. I mean, I know they signed Jesse James this offseason, but that's not really going to scare anybody, is it?
I mean, I'm not, but he's also a rookie tight end, so what are you expecting right away? I mean, I would say the over-under on him finishing among fantasy tight ends this year is 12.5.
I would take the over on that, actually, because like there's only been, I think it's been over the last 10 years, I've looked at this, there's only been one tight end to finish top 12 in the last 10 years. And that was Evan Engram, when both Odell Beckham and Brandon Marshall got hurt and he walked into a bunch of targets. So if Kenny Galladay,
and he was horrible in terms of efficiency, like the worst in the league, he just got so many targets.
If Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones get hurt, then I'll say TJ Hockenson's going to finish top 12.
All right, Noah Fant, that's a good fit in Denver. Irv Smith Jr. going to Minnesota. I don't know if they trade Kyle Rudolph. I don't love the fit. Besides that, Jay Sternberger to the Packers, baby.
I had Sternberger actually going to the Vikings in the second round, so I did see that happening. I think that Kyle Rudolph's gone after this year, so I think they're going to keep him around. Tudor, Irv Smith Jr., and that's fine. Noah Fant to the Broncos, that one's really interesting because Joe Flacco has loved his tight ends throughout his career.
Yes, exactly.
And so that kind of makes some sense to me. Noah Fant is the best receiving tight end, I would say, in this draft. Hockenson's close, but Fant is like that possession. Like if you're looking for someone with a potential Travis Kelce type receiving ceiling, Fant's the guy. I don't think he's going to get there, but he's got all the speed in the world. Cornerbacks will struggle to even hang with him the majority of the time unless they're like a top-notch athlete. So I like him an awful lot. Sternberger, he's not going to do anything his rookie season. So like if you're in rookie drafts, like it's tough to spend a whole lot on him.
Just wait and trade for him next offseason when everyone's like, oh, I might cut this guy. You want him?
You might be able, I'd probably do that, you know, and you're in week 10 of this year. Then trade for him, because once Jimmy Graham gets released or they decide they're not going to bring him back, that's when people are going to be like, Jay Sternberger is going to break out this year. Well, you could have him on your roster already.
I want to clarify a couple things here. Drew Sample taken in the second round by the Bengals. Some people are going to look at this and not know much about these rookies. Same with Josh Oliver. I don't even think that they had videos on Josh Oliver when the Jags drafted him at 3-5. Both these guys are not the type of fantasy football players that you want. I'm sure they'll be fine football players. The teams believe in them and everything, but they're not exactly fantasy football prototypes. Now, the dude that I do like that ended up going a little bit after him in the third round, Khalil Waring out of San Diego State, went to Houston. I think he could start right away. He's not quite as polished, but he's got some big-time upside. The analytical models just absolutely adore this guy.
I know a lot of people are into him, and the Texans, they have a void there, but they have so many receiving options, it's really tough to love anybody there. Alize Mack out of Notre Dame, he didn't go until the seventh round, but he went to the Saints. I mean, if Jared Cook goes all Jared Cook again and turns into Jared Cook.
If they signed your friend John off the street tomorrow and put him in as tight end, I would draft him.
He might turn into Josh Hill. You never know. But no, so Mac, like you just don't know what you're getting with him. We do know that he's a really solid athlete. He comes with some good attributes. But the thing is like at Notre Dame, he just wasn't utilized very much. So you don't know what he could potentially do. I think the Saints took a chance on him there thinking maybe we found lightning late in the draft. So, I mean, he's just like one of those sleepers that if you're in a dynasty league that you do 6-round rookie drafts, maybe you take Mac with one of your last picks and just like, I'll see what I got in him.
I like that. Yep. I like that a lot. All right, man. So we talked about all the skill position players and we don't have as much time to talk about the rest of the draft. We have a lot more episodes coming up, but let's just get 2 takeaways from each of us. I want you to go first. What's your favorite takeaway outside of the skill positions?
I think one of my biggest takeaways from this one was how far Greedy Williams fell. And I
called it, baby.
And trying to figure out why. Like, I mean, I understand, like, okay, he's not a top 10 pick. There's some question marks about him, but falling, I think he was the 6th cornerback off the board. I haven't done the math. I haven't gone back and looked at all this stuff because we were there, and it's sometimes difficult to keep track of all the players that have gone. But I want to say there were 5 or 6 cornerbacks that were taken ahead of him, including Jojuan Williams, which is just crazy to me. I like Sean Bunting. Sean Bunting went before Greedy Williams, the guy who was favored in the NFL. Like, so if you Vegas, you could basically bet on all this stuff.
He was favored to be the first defensive back off the board.
He was, and it's crazy.
And it wasn't even close. It was like he was a pretty heavy favorite.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was mind blowing to me. My favorite part of the NFL draft, though, was Clelin Ferrell going at number 4.
Oh, man, I was so excited. Everyone's like, who? And I'm sitting there yelling like a lunatic. I was pretty excited.
I loved it when people were on Twitter, you know, guys that know it all, and saying that nobody in the industry was saying that Clelin Ferrell was going to go inside the top 5. And so many of you guys, our faithful listeners, came to our defense and said, yeah, they did. So we really appreciate you guys coming to our defense. I don't ever want to respond to people like that when they say stuff like that. I'm like, don't ever say nobody said anything because you never know. I don't listen to everybody. I don't know. But what I'm saying is we did. And that was the highlight of the draft for me just because Clelin Ferrell deserved to go that high.
Yep, that was pretty sweet, man. All right, here's one of my favorites, and I'm kind of surprised that this did happen. I'm not surprised that the Falcons did take 1 offensive lineman in the first 2 rounds. They took 2 offensive linemen in the first round, though, and they're good ones. Chris Lindstrom, Caleb McGarry. This offense is going to be dangerous. They followed it up with Kendall Sheffield in the 4th round because they traded up and didn't have as many picks. But the Falcons are going to be really good this year. This was their one hole. I think that they are one of the Super Bowl favorites.
I know you're not going to like this.
They've got to stay healthy. If they had stayed healthy last year, they would have been a lot better. I think they've got one of the top 10 defenses in the NFL, and I think they've got one of the top 5 offenses in the NFL now that their offensive line is fixed.
So here's the thing. I like Chris Lindstrom. I think he's a solid player. Caleb McGarry, not a big fan. But my issue with their draft is that they needed an edge rusher real bad, and they didn't take one until the 4th round in John Comiskey. I'm not a huge fan. I didn't like their draft very much. It's weird because not only did they take Lindstrom at 114.
That was a little bit of a reach. I was thinking he was going to go 22, 23.
Yeah, but in free agency, they signed James Carpenter and Jamon Brown to big contracts. Like, they didn't pay him cheap, and those are 2 offensive guards. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's going to be like the Colts going from a less than mediocre offensive line to, hey, maybe the best in the league.
Maybe that's what they're going for. I don't know. But to me, I felt like they needed an edge rusher. There were some good ones on the board. I think they passed on Brian Burns. They passed on Montez Sweat. I like both of those guys.
Yeah. This is the mold. We saw the Chargers do it a couple years, and they got so much better when their offensive line took off. Same thing with the Colts. I think the Falcons are that team this year.
Time will tell. I didn't like their draft as much as you did, but you made a good point about the Colts.
I'm going to go with my second one here because it's just kind of a natural follow-up. Another team that I like the draft a lot more than you do, but I am absolutely salivating over what the Green Bay Packers did. I know you're not as high on Rashawn Gary as a lot of other people are, just because he didn't produce at the collegiate level, and I understand that. Former number 1 overall recruit, just an absolute freak of nature athlete. I think the Packers, they didn't exactly need him, but to have that depth on the defensive line after they added all these absolute hosses in free agency, I'm telling you right now, the Packers have one of the top 5 defenses in the NFL. They're not the Bears, but they close the gap enough at defense. I think they're going to be a better team than the Bears because they're better offensively as well. And then Darnell Savage, they traded up for him at 121. I said it before, I think that this guy could be a Hall of Famer. When I watch his tape, it is incredible to me. He's one of the best safeties I've seen in the last 5 years.
You wonder if he's like a Derwin James where they just got a steal on him. They traded up for him, yeah. And you know what? Going back to the Packers, I felt like they didn't need to trade up for Savage, and that's why I wasn't...
See, I disagree with you because the Colts loved him. I think that's why the Colts traded back is because they were like, well, Savage isn't there. I guess we got to trade back.
And that's the thing. If they knew that, then, you know, kudos to them. Rashawn Gary, there's some question marks there, you know, knowing the shoulder injury and that he might be dealing, like, he might not be able to play for much of the 2019 season.
There's a chance he's a top three player in this draft.
It's possible, but I don't draft on potential at my number 12 pick, I don't think. But either way, I loved Elgton Jenkins. Like, he was one of my favorite picks. They got him in the second round. Jay Sternberger, they got in the third round. I felt like that was a fantastic pick. So the Packers actually, they turned in a good draft. I just think it could have been better.
Yeah, I think they're the winners of the offseason. I'm not saying they had the single best draft, but I'm saying their entire compilation of who they added and everything like that, they nailed it. This team is going to be so good. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't win this year, no excuses.
Poor Aaron Rodgers, by the way.
Oh, yeah, they didn't help him at all. They're just like, we got Aaron Rodgers. Why do we need any weapons?
Right, exactly. And you're bringing in top quarterbacks on visits, wasting your visits. I'm not going to talk about that. But my last one I'll give a takeaway on is that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson should not have lasted into the fourth round.
Holy cow, man. If he would have gone in the first round, I wouldn't have blinked.
Correct. I think that's a steal for the Saints. I think the rich just got richer, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is going to be a steal for them. I think we're going to be talking about in a couple of years and be like, how did that guy slip into the fourth round?
Man, they got Eric McCoy in the middle of the second, too. They didn't, like, the Saints fans are probably like, I don't really know who these guys are. We didn't have a pick in the first round. Not excited. You guys should be excited. It was one of the best drafts.
They did good. They did.
All right, Tags, that is all for today's show. I'm sure we'll be talking about the draft a little bit more on future shows. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on any future shows. And thanks to the sponsor of today's shows, PristineAuction.com. Sign up for our contest at FantasyPros.com/contest for that signed Davante Adams Green Bay Packers helmet that we're giving away. Thanks to PristineAuction.com, PristineIne. And thanks also to Flea Flicker. Please check out FleaFlicker.com/pros. It is 100% free, and you are going to love the customizable options for your league, and the app is excellent to navigate.
And finally, thanks to Flag and Anthem. Whether you're in Nashville checking out the draft like we were, you're out with your significant other, or hanging with your buddies, their clothing is always the number one pick. Please check out Flag and Anthem. You guys are going to love them. Go to flagandanthem.com/fantasypros or enter promo code FLAGFANTASY at checkout for 20% off your order.
For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.